Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Thank you so much again for the award. It's the podcast of the year, according to the Elite Music Awards, and we thank them for that. And you for listening and driving us up near 1 million streams. We're going to be there by the end of the summer, and on September 28th, if you are in town, so it's coming up real soon, we're going to have a giant party celebrating the award and 1 million streams. And we're going to have a lot of the artists that you've and writers that we've had on the show in the past performing. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's going to be at the Commodore Grill, which is a Vanderbilt Holiday Inn here in Nashville. So it's nice to have you. We've got a lot to talk about today. I have an amazing artist and songwriter who's still kind of new to Nashville. And that's okay, because we're going to get her take on it so far. I'll tell you a little bit about her, okay? First of all, there's this Franklin First United Church. And they do this thing every month called 19 Miles to Music Row, because they're 19 miles to Music Row in Franklin. And it really is a great show, because they invite a hit songwriter in, and then there are three up-and-coming writers that perform before that. And it's just a beautiful church and a beautiful auditorium and stage, and the sound is incredible, and they video and they put it on YouTube. I was really honored to do it twice now, and our guest today has done it quite recently, and that's kind of how we got hooked up.
Yes.
Through a guy named Mark Hamm, who has also done that show. She is Sarah Kelly, and Sarah, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, your music is amazing. Mark told me about you, and he sent me a link to your music, and I heard you sing, and I'm going, oh, man. Not only do we have to have her at the Hills Party, which is a private house concert that we book for every month, but we also have to have her on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she's got the most beautiful eyes. She's really, really beautiful. And
thank
a
you.
Great singer-songwriter. You remind me, you know, the eyes remind me of, I have the most embarrassing story for you. When I was working in radio, I was working in Cincinnati, and opening day baseball is like a holiday in Cincinnati. There's a parade, and they always have somebody, you know, famous sing the national anthem. It happened to be Martina McBride this year. And
she's my favorite singer.
Is she your favorite singer?
She's my favorite.
Oh my God, it's
good
to hear
that.
That's
so funny that you say that. We hadn't even talked about that.
And she's got the amazing voice, right? Mm-hmm. She can sing the national anthem, unlike Ingrid Andress, but we won't even go there. but anyway, I thought, sitting down with her, I thought, I'll be okay as long as I don't look her in the eye. If I don't make eye contact, because she's the most beautiful eyes,
yeah, you know,
in addition to her voice. And I thought, well, I'm fine. I'm going to be fine. And it's going well.
Wait, so you sat down with her?
Oh, yeah. She was in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're talking, and we're going, it's fine. It's all really going fine. And I look up, we make eye contact, and I went, I'm going to lose it. I turned into Chris Farley, you know, on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You're like, you remember that song you did about the broken wing? Huh? That was awesome.
I love her.
I was an idiot, but and I loved her too. And what a great lady.
Oh, you know? She's my favorite.
Well, that's cool to hear that. How about that?
Yeah.
You had the same kind of pretty eyes, if I may
Thank
say.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So let's find out about you. You're from North Carolina, 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Harrisburg, which that's like
right outside of Charlotte.
Yeah, like northeast from Charlotte.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of country music in that area. Huh?
Yeah, I love North Carolina.
Do you?
Yeah, I try to go back as much as I can.
Wow.
Go see my church back home, and my parents still live there. All my family's there, so.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about your journey from North Carolina to Nashville. You've been here how long?
I think 9 months. It might be 10 now. I've kind of lost track.
Time flies when you're having
fun.
Under
a year, yeah.
Tell me about the journey.
It's been it's been a very fun journey. I feel like I was obviously very nervous leaving home, and I had a ton of experience playing right out of high school. I played nonstop in North Carolina, and I learned the booking process and kind of just like all that goes into making this a career in social media. So I felt really blessed to be equipped in that, in that area, and being able to stay home out of high school. And then moving here, I feel like I've made a lot of friends, and doors are just constantly being opened by people that are just
God opens those out.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's provided so many people in my life that have really like helped me and opened doors for me. And I don't know, I've just been so busy, and it's been amazing. And I just feel like every day there's something new. I call my mom like every day to tell her something new, and she's like, the train is on the track, Sarah. She's so excited. So
that's so cool. And she just had a birthday, huh?
Yeah, or yes, she did. She did.
Happy belated birthday.
Absolutely.
What's your mama's name?
Lizanne. She's actually the children's minister at our church.
That's cool. And your church is what?
Hawthorne Lane United Methodist in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Fantastic. Yeah. So tell me about the decision to move to Nashville. Now, did you have friends, or had you been making trips before, slowly but surely? Or
did you just we did make some trips, some writing trips, and that's where we wrote like Wildflower, and I got to meet some really amazing writers. But I initially had wanted to move sooner than I did, and I'm so glad I didn't. There was just some family and life stuff that happened that kind of stood in the way. But
it happens. Life happens.
Yeah, for sure. But I was really excited to move here. I knew I always needed to be here. And then in September of last year, we moved, and or I moved.
So it's coming up on a year.
Yeah, I think, I guess so. Maybe that means it was 10 months. I don't know. But I just think that we decided it was time, and wonderful. It's been amazing. I hope that my parents move here eventually. I think that they definitely will. Maybe in like the next year or two. But
wonderful. Yeah. So how did you find, I mean, tell me about the experience coming to Nashville from the Charlotte area of North Carolina. Was it culture shock, or did you just feel like, man, I'm part of this. It's a part of me.
Yeah, that's funny. I feel like I live in Franklin. And so I feel like that hasn't been too much of a culture shock, because it still has that small town safe vibe. It doesn't have a strong city vibe. I think if I would have moved to Nashville, it would have been a major culture shock. I'm not really a city girl. So, I feel very safe in Franklin, and I feel like it's been really easy to adjust. Besides obviously a little bit lonely at first, but now I'm good. I've found my people. So
good. You found your people and other singers and songwriters and
it's been a journey. I feel like finding, like really good people, but, lot of them are singers. Some of them are singers. Some of them are not. But
and you know that's a good lesson right there. When you come into Nashville, and a lot of folks are coming to Nashville, you know, find your people. Find your people.
Yeah.
Network.
Yep.
Get to know as many people. This is a town where it's a big little town.
Yes.
And yes, Franklin is south, and a lot of the country stars live there. By the way,
Leapers Fork
and Leapers Fork, that whole area. Have you played Fox and Locks down there? The old buckets.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, it's the coolest place.
You never know who's going to walk in there.
It's so cool. It's packed.
You never do. So you find your people, and you write.
It takes
time. And I've heard it called class. I was a class with this, you know.
Yes.
You learn and you go and you
never know who in your group is going to make it big. And it's really fun to support everybody that you meet. And it's just a fun.
Now, did you do a lot of co-writing before you came to Nashville? Or was it? Yeah.
I did co-writing when I traveled to Nashville. So I really got the experience there. I feel like there's not that many people that do what I did back in Harrisburg. But I got the chance to do a lot whenever I was traveling here, but now I do it all the time. So made a lot of friends in co-writing, and it's a different experience from I've always obviously wrote songs by myself. So it's been a learning curve, but I love to co-write. So.
Any advice being through almost a year now in Nashville for new writers and artists that are coming into town? What would you tell them?
That's a good question. I feel like I still need learning all the advice. I think,
Anything
know.
You would have done different?
That is a really good question. I guess I would definitely go back to find your people and take time to find them and don't just like cling to the people that you find first. Cause I think that's what I did. And some of that didn't work out. So, find a church. That's what I did. And I am grateful I did that. And it's I got involved at Franklin First United Methodist.
And you play music there in the worship bands?
Yes. Yeah. I sing there, a couple Sundays a month.
Isn't that great?
It's so fun. So I feel like finding a church, finding people through the church and going to things and meeting people. It's really not hard to meet people, especially in the music world, because you play one writer's round and you have like three people asking to co-write. So I feel like, I don't know, just pray every night and pray that you're on the right track.
And I'll add to that, be a good hang, go to the writer's night.
Yes.
Meet people.
Yeah.
And get involved. If you have to start as an open mic, you know, you start.
And especially at like Fox and Lock, it's a huge open mic. So.
Oh, yes, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never been down there for that, but Mark Hamm, our mutual friend, keeps telling me, you got to do it, Dave. You got to come on down. It's been great.
It's amazing. Yeah. I haven't been so long because we have church on Thursday nights and it gets a little hard to make it now, but it's really fun.
Well, it sounds like you get your priorities all in line, right?
Yeah.
So did you start playing open mics in writer's rounds right away? Or
I feel like I started, I think writer's rounds can be a little overwhelming when I first moved here. I was like, how do I play a writer's round?
Yeah.
But then I feel like you play one and there's other people that host writer's rounds that are there and ask you. So that was easy. But I feel like I started kind of with what I knew, and that was by like playing breweries kind of in outskirt towns. And that's like this
those
weekend.
Are the paying ones.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I was really focused on. Yeah. I had that on my mind and trying to figure out how to make a living here, but that's what I started with, and then the writer's round started.
Good for you. And I imagine with people hearing your voice at writer's rounds, and that's the other thing too, when they hear you and they see that you're the level that you're at, I'm sure you're getting a lot of invitations.
Yeah.
Be in my round, be in my, you know.
Which I'm grateful for. I do feel like that has been a blessing, I feel like. So
now you talked about coming into town and writing with some big writers. One of the ones is Brian White.
Yes.
Who has an open invitation. Brian, if you're listening, we got to get you in this seat here. All of your buddies have done it. Pete Salas, Will Nance. Eventually we're going to get you on and your lovely wife. But anyway, you met Brian and you were writing with him. How'd you hook up?
So I had a manager, and he would set me up while I was still in North Carolina with people here. And so that's how I got the chance to meet amazing writers like Brian White. And so
he's a great guy.
Yeah. And so we actually ended up writing two songs the day that we wrote Wildflower. We wrote Wildflower and another song. And it was me, Brian White, and Ethan Hulse and Kaylee Ann Lowe. So it was a four-way write.
Ah.
And then the next day I got to write with Tranny Anderson and Paul Sykes. Do you know them?
That?
They're amazing writers.
Sykes I've heard of.
Yes. Tranny Anderson is like Lainey Wilson's biggest writer. She writes Heart Like a Truck and all the big songs.
Wow.
But that all happened right after I got to write with her. So I feel really proud to just be able to say I was in the room with her. But
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we wrote Man Who Will, which was my first song with him. And then we wrote another song that same day, which I'll play for y'all.
Good. When we get
later.
To the live part around the dining room table.
Yeah.
Well, let's play this one that you and Brian, this is called Wildflower. And if you don't know Brian, he wrote, he's had some big hits, including one with Steve Dean called I've Been Watching You. Steve's been on this show. So, Brian, owe me, brother.
Get over here.
So let's listen to the song. It's called Wildflower. Our guest is Sarah Kelly on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Mama loved growing them roses out by the side of the house. Right outside my window, making it hard for me to sneak out. The driver's lined with daisies and the trees with buttercups. Everything she ever grew was perfectly lined up. But when it came to me, I grew with the weeds. I was a wildflower, kicking up the dust, keeping mama up at every hour. Diamond in the rough, learning how to love by breaking rules and fences. Muddy under my dresses, barefoot dancing in an August shower. I was wild. see eye to eye. So her and Jesus got real close with those extra prayers at night. Cause I was a wildflower, kicking up the dust, keeping mama up at every hour. Diamond in the rough, learning how to love by breaking rules and fences, muddying up my dresses, barefoot dancing in an August shower. I was a wildflower. I was a wildflower. Each year for her birthday, I send some roses in a box and ask the florist to slip in. The dust, keeping mama up at every hour, diamond in the rough, learning how to love by breaking rules and fences, muddying up my dresses, barefoot dancing in an August shower. I'm still a wildflower. Yeah.
Isn't that a great song? Mm-hmm. Sarah Kelly is our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. You wrote this with two other great writers?
Three other great. Yeah.
It was a four-way co-write.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so fun.
Now, let's get under the hood there. Talk about how that was written and who threw out the idea and how did you... Because this is a nice story song.
Thank you.
You're kind of a storyteller.
Yes, thank you. So we came to Kayleanne Lowe's house, and it was me, Kayleanne Lowe, mm-hmm. Brian White, and Ethan Hulse. And Ethan Hulse, if you know him, he's more of like a Christian writer, which is perfect because I love to incorporate that in my music. And usually in these co-write situations, I bring the idea. I have like a whole list of titles. I'm sure most songwriters do have ideas on their notes app.
Oh, yeah. Keep book.
Yeah, so that was a title that I had, and
was there some truth to that? Did mom?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that I definitely didn't sneak out. Some people, I feel like every child was a little bit wild in their own way. I definitely was not super crazy wild, but I was sassy and
sassy.
that kind of wild. But I definitely, me and my mom have that close relationship,
That's great.
I think that it's definitely true for the most part.
Pretty cool.
But yeah.
So it was your idea?
Yes, it was my idea. I can't remember. I feel like it was Brian that really wanted to run with that song. So we just had that, and I love the country sound of the production of it. And
which is great. Where'd you get it done?
Jason Blaine produced it. I don't know if you know him. He's amazing, and yeah, I mean, I feel like it was, we wrote it like 2.5 years ago, so it's hard to remember exactly what happened, but I do remember we wrote that song, and then we wrote another song that day called Woman Up, which is a really like
Woman Up,
fun, sassy song. That was a title that I had, so
yeah.
It's kind of a blur, but I'm grateful for the day, and I'm grateful.
Was that BC before COVID?
During? Maybe during.
Yeah.
No, I guess it was after.
Just after.
I guess it was just after. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. About the time we were starting this podcast, probably.
Yeah. I guess so.
Well, great.
Crazy.
That's a great song. It really is.
Thank you.
Tell me where you learned to sing. Did you always sing? I mean, at least that voice is really a God-given talent
Thank you. Well, I definitely grew up singing in church, so
Did you?
I feel like that's not super uncommon, but... grew up singing in like church choir. We had music camps growing up that I would always like get the little pretty solo in, which was fun. We always had Martina McBride or Carrie Underwood playing in the car and with the CD. We would have their CDs and we would just let them roll. My mom would. I'd be in the back seat in my booster seat and I would just sing along. And I feel like those two people are the people, the singers that really like taught me how to sing, which I'm grateful for because they have amazing voices.
Did you have any vocal training at all?
No.
This is all God-given talent.
Yeah.
Well, I take it those are two wonderful singers to emulate because yeah. And the thing I love about both of those, they have amazing range.
Yeah.
What, 5-octave range.
Yeah.
And can hit those notes.
And that kind of voice is, I think, the most appealing to me.
Yeah.
In country music. And I like now I have so many more favorites. I love Trisha Yearwood as well.
Oh, Trisha's amazing too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Vince Gill is like my favorite singer of all time. Just throwing that
really?
In there. Yeah.
The High Lonesome Sound.
I just love Vince Gill. Anybody that knows me knows that though. But obviously I don't sing like him.
He's well, one who of my does, favorites. Right? Who does? Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff you grew up listening to, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Those are all great
people
to idolize.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we had CDs, obviously. We don't really even have CDs anymore. My car doesn't even have a CD player, but because we had CDs, that was pretty much all I listened to. So yeah. I just wanted to sing everything just like them back then.
It's all streaming now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And social medias are so important.
Yeah.
And you keep up with that all yourself, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like the busier my life has been getting, just a lot of different things keep mm-hmm. me busy. It's been hard to balance it with
it is.
Going live on TikTok, posting my TikToks, filming my TikToks, and yeah. TikTok is everything. I say TikTok because I feel like that's really important, but I feel like I do better on Instagram and stuff like that, but the video was a... filming videos and stuff was a learning curve when it started becoming really popular.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that takes so much more work for me mm-hmm. and for everybody. So it's a blessing and a curse, but...
Do you find you're constantly looking for content?
Yeah, I feel like I run out of like, okay, this video did good, but I can't cover this exact same song again, so what am I going to do next? And then I also don't want to just have music. Like I love fashion as well, and I love different things, so sometimes I'll do that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
It's hard. It's just hard to tell. Like you just never know what people are going to react to, and the algorithm.
Oh yeah.
It's crazy.
What's with it?
I don't get it.
You do a lot of those vertical TikToks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, where do we find you on TikTok?
It's just Sarah Kelly Official. It's the same. I try to keep that. That's the same on Instagram as well.
And I think official, that's important. You know, there is so, here's the thing I've found about TikTok, and mm-hmm. maybe you have too. I see so many fake mm-hmm. accounts mm-hmm. from different folks that aren't really, right now I'm chatting with a really good friend of mine who's a co-writer and a great artist. She's on tour right now. And I know it's not her, but I'll catch it. I'll catch her eventually and I'll report it. You know?
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand. There is a lot of that going. You know what? I had a great conversation with Adele.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love Adele.
Yeah.
She's like one of the only people outside the country that I'm a fan of.
We became really close up to the... I like to scam them right back, you know. So I thought, let's see how long this relationship will last.
Oh, it wasn't Adele.
No, it wasn't really Adele. No, it was a fake Adele.
Yeah.
And so eventually she's like, I have a great idea for you. A great investment idea.
Oh, yeah.
I got a show coming in Germany and you and I'm like, just laughing.
Yeah.
I went, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, what's so funny? Block. You know, but you know, I'll go and report, you know.
Yeah.
But it's terrible.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like people buy followers too. Like it's just, it's all kind of one and the same to me.
You gotta be careful, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But so TikTok more than the rest, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think I could be wrong. Everybody has their own mm-hmm. opinions on that. But I feel like TikTok is definitely the biggest thing right now.
Good.
So I know you're supposed to post it on everything. Post your videos on Instagram Reels and Facebook. And I'm not very good at that. I kind of like to keep the TikTok on TikTok and the pictures on Instagram. And
I'm trying to be more conscious of TikTok. I mean, we had one artist in here recently that we did a podcast with. And she says, do you mind if we put it on TikTok Live? And I go,
smart. I should have done that.
Put a little pot, you know, and maybe I'll buy a nice little tripod for my phone. Maybe we'll start to do that. Because we've been thinking about a different way, Sarah, to make it a video podcast. And I'm a radio guy, so it's not been that important to me.
Yeah.
But I know that in order to boost, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, because we are there, like and subscribe. But you know,
is it just sound, or is there
right
a camera
now it's just
somewhere?
Sound. Okay, no, good. There's no I'm camera like, there.
What
no,
do
I would
like?
Tell you if we did. Okay. Maybe eventually we'll get to that. You know, I mm-hmm. don't know. But being a radio guy, nobody needs to see this ugly radio face. So, and I just allow you know enjoy you know just one-on-one conversations
yeah.
like this. But maybe someday we'll go there. We're yeah. we're looking at it. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's good to have you, and you've got that guitar out, Gibson, beautiful Gibson guitar.
Thank you.
And I want to hear you live around the dining room table because that's
okay.
one of my favorite things to do on this show.
Aww.
Live music.
Well, this song is called... Actually, I'm not going to say what it's called because
no,
I feel like...
it'll give it away, huh?
Yeah, certain songs, you just... it's better not to. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the songs that I wrote. It was one of my first trips to Nashville, co-writing trips. And I wrote it with Jason Blaine, who was my producer, and Tina Parole. I always forget. And she's amazing. But yeah, I hope that y'all like this song.
Sure we will.
You know when it's raining, you can feel it on your skin. See it on the window, hear it on the tin. You know that it's summer when the sun comes out to shine. Sky's a little bluer, stays brighter out till night. Guess some things just aren't that clear. Like what you and me are doing here. I wanna fall, I wanna fly. I wanna feel like I'm up there on cloud nine. They say you know, and you know. And boy, I wish I did, but it ought to burn, make you melt. Cause it ain't love when you kiss and can't tell. It wasn't always wrong, but that don't make it right. When you have something to say, silence is a lie. I've searched my heart and prayed at least 100 times. It's time to walk away. I've gotta say goodbye. I wanna fall, I wanna fly. I wanna feel like I'm up there on cloud nine. They say you know. And boy, I wish I did, but I don't. It ought to burn, make you mad. Cause it ain't love when you kiss and can't tell. Feel like I'm up there on cloud nine. They say you know when you know. And boy, I wish I did, but I don't. It ought to burn, make you mad. Cause it ain't love when you kiss. It ain't.
Sarah Kelly, we're going to talk about that song
okay.
when we come back. Don't go away.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
She's only been in Nashville for, well, almost a year now. She hails from Harrisburg, North Carolina, outside of Charlotte. She's our guest, and she is Sarah Kelly, an amazing voice and songwriter. I'll tell you, sir, it's a pleasure to meet you and have you here. I'll bet you you're gaining a lot of attention in this town. Yeah, your voice is amazing.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that right away I noticed, especially on that song, see, watching you do it live, and this is a hard thing, I think, for singers to learn, is dynamics. You start out soft, but still we can hear it. It's still strong, and then you can bring it up when you want. And I think that's learned, but there's talent there too. Come from that singing in church, doesn't
it? Yeah, that's so sweet that you say that. I feel like my mom talks about that a lot.
Did your mom sing?
Yeah, she has more of a classical operatic voice. She was into she lived in New York City for a while in Broadway before she decided to have a family. So she pays attention to that kind of stuff. I love when people like notice that kind of thing, because I don't always pay attention to that. But
no, you see, you drew us in with that.
Well, thank you.
You drew us in, and then you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. My goodness, so tell us about the writing of that Under the Hood. Your idea or no?
Well, that one was even further away.
Because you write so many songs, and you go, how do I remember?
I do remember Tina Parole was on Zoom. So that was an interesting experience, because it was me and Jason Blaine, and then Tina was on the computer. And I think it was actually her idea. I think my title was just generic, and it was just Kiss and Tell. And she heard it, and she was like, no, let's change that and say Kiss and Can't Tell, and let's talk about this experience where you are with somebody and you just don't, you don't know if it's the person for you or not. And I think it's so relatable. I mean, it is for me, and I don't have a ton of experience in that area, but I feel like being young and you're dating people, and it's just very common to just not be able to tell. And I feel like when you can't tell, it's just not right. And that's what the song is about. So
how about that? It was very cool.
Thank you.
You know, and you bring up a good songwriting point, lesson behind the song. You know, it could have been Kiss and Tell. Mm-hmm. You're going to write a song, Kiss and Tell. But how do you twist that?
Yeah.
That's a cool twist.
Yeah, I think it was I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, it was Tina Parole that was like, let's say Kiss and Can't Tell, and let's talk about this. And of course, we were all like, absolutely. And then we love my favorite line is, when you have something to say, silence is a lie, in the second verse.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I just think that it became kind of this masterpiece, and hopefully, it's technically ready to be released, but it just depends on when and when the time is right, but awesome. I think that that will definitely be released at some point.
So getting back in the studio and recording some of these songs in the near future?
Well, that one is actually recorded. That one was recorded the same day as my other two singles. Uh-huh. And I've decided to hold off on releasing for a little bit I'm just not in a rush and I'd rather be in the writing space for a little bit longer. But
that's good. You'll get to a point where you've got so many great songs, it's going to be hard to choose.
And maybe an EP next would be great.
How do I whittle it down to 5-6 songs?
Yeah. That's a great problem. It's a great problem. So,
It is, isn't it? When did you start getting interested in songwriting?
I played soccer. I was a big soccer player in high school.
Okay.
And I know that sounds like it doesn't connect, but it does. I took soccer very seriously, and I think I taught myself guitar like my freshman or sophomore
year of
high school.
Self-learned on that thing?
Yeah. Nice. I'm not very good.
You fooled me.
Thank you. But so I taught myself that in like early high school, freshman, sophomore year, and then was playing on like several teams of soccer in high school, wanted to play in college, but was always obviously, of course, loved music. Mm-hmm. But tore everything in my knee my junior year of high school. Everything, like ACL, meniscus, MCL. So that happened, and that took me away, and it was like my first heartbreak. But
I bet.
But I mean, looking back now, so grateful that it happened because
I had other plans.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And so I remember that was when I wrote one of my first like real songs called "May There Be Light," and I sang it at like the high school talent show, and
that
was
win?
Kind of. Everybody asked me that. There was no winner. It was
no
just
winner.
Kind
Everybody
of
wins.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
Nowadays, but it was, that was the first time that I was like on stage singing one of my songs, and it just felt right. And I was I can't even describe the feeling. I think other performers would probably get it. You might even be able to get it. You're just like, you do something and it just feels like that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of the turning point in my life. And, I've been writing. I wrote my first song in elementary school. So
elementary,
I was
school.
In a band in elementary school, and we'd meet up at the rock wall and sing and practice. And
isn't that great?
Yeah.
So you had other friends into music as well.
Yeah. I mean, in elementary school, like with the choir, the chorus people were
that's
singers,
so cool.
But,
how about that?
And it's funny, I don't mean to ramble on, but my chorus teacher in elementary school, his name is Mr. Barnaba. He actually just came to 19 Miles to Music Row, and he still teaches at that school in Harrisburg, North Carolina.
Oh, he must have been so proud.
It's a crazy full circle moment.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's I've definitely been in music all my life,
well,
despite
so
soccer.
And you know what? That doesn't surprise me. You talk about the connection between soccer. It takes a lot of dedication and focus to be good in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same when you talk about music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a certain amount of talent is required. But then you can develop it and perfect it.
Yeah.
But it takes discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah. I think especially after high school when I had that time at home, it was a lot of hard work because nobody was doing what I was doing. But I really had to like make a name for myself in music just in that area, which was still hard because it's not that prevalent back there. It's not like everybody's looking for singers. But I definitely learned hard work and it paid off in the end because I was having, by the end of my time there, I had people always reaching out asking me to come play. So that was just a blessing. And I think
a first big break moment?
Like in back home?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I remember my first gig. It was at a coffee shop.
was it?
Yeah, I was at a coffee shop in Concord. Everybody, all my church people, all my like my friends' parents came out. We filled up that little coffee shop.
Yay!
So yeah, that was, and I remember I was like so nervous, and I only played for like 2 hours, and my voice was like shot, which I've came a long way because now I feel like I've had days where I've played like 3 3-hour gigs in one day. So I've learned endurance, hard work. And but it's still a sweet memory to look back on.
People don't realize what if you're doing 3 gigs in a day, what a toll that takes on your voice.
And I think that just doing it so many times, I'm grateful that I feel like I don't have issues a lot, but especially being in Nashville, gigs are so much shorter than they were in North Carolina. They're like at most 2 hours, so it's pretty easy. But and writers' rounds are easy.
Have you auditioned to the Bluebird yet? Have you been to the Bluebird?
When I first moved here, it was one of my goals to get in, but I just can't type quick enough. and so I haven't. I've been hard to support some of my friends, but
yeah,
I'm just like, I just can't type quick enough. I can't put the pressure.
You're going to get into the open mic on Monday night?
That's what I tried. And everybody, yeah. It's just all about who can type quick enough. And that's what I love about Fox and Locke is you text and they like, I think that they kind of check people out to make sure that they are like capable, I guess, of being on the stage. But I feel like there's a little bit more credibility with that because they actually check and it's not about who can type quick enough.
But, well, that's a good point.
But you know, but yeah. Is Bluebird back up?
Yeah, it's back up.
Okay. I thought, yeah, I was thinking, yeah, it was still, yeah, the roof was still a problem.
Yeah. They had a couple of down times, but they're catching up.
With, well, I'd love to play there eventually.
Would you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I can type quick enough, but yeah, I haven't tried in a while because I've like given up.
You should do the audition. Go through the process.
Oh, is there an audition?
There's audition. I think it's once a quarter. If you watch their website, they'll tell you. You go in and you play a song. Usually you get a verse and a chorus.
Is it for the Monday night?
It's for Sunday nights. And so you start in on the Sunday night writers' rounds. And usually you're with other folks and you get to do like three songs.
Oh, I would love Sundays.
And then after, it's either four or five performances on Sunday. And they always bring in a pro writer also that will play after you guys are done. And after you do like four or five of those, I think you can start booking your own rounds.
Oh, I would love. Cool? I definitely need to check that out then. Yeah. That would be so fun.
You should. Absolutely. I will. But you know, we talk about Fox and Locke. That's a historic place too. It used to be the Puckett's.
Yeah.
And you know, it was the original Puckett's. Now there's Puckett's everywhere. There's another new one in Hendersonville, I understand. But you know, the way it started, folks, was they were just... It really was a grocery store, and it's called Puckett's Grocery. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and on the weekends they would push all of the racks back to the end, and then they had a little stage up near the window up front, and people would come and play and sing. And
it's so cute. There
became more about music than it did groceries.
They need to make like a movie about it. It seems like it's just like the cutest little town.
Why not? They should. I'm surprised.
They really should.
That somebody hasn't done that yet.
Well, I guess we can do it then. Me and you.
Be a great movie.
I know.
Well, I got a friend who does movies. Maybe I'm gonna tell him about that.
Yeah.
Mark Tone.
I'll take a percent.
No, we'll have you star in it.
Oh yeah.
That's a great idea.
Man, yeah.
Write that down.
I know. Yeah. Let's write it down.
You got another song you can sing for us?
Yes.
Yes. And the story behind it. Because you're a storyteller.
Yes. That's probably the main reason I love country music so much.
But yeah.
This song is a solo write. I think I wrote it like 2 years ago maybe or something.
Cool.
I remember it was like in the winter. That's all I remember. But it is just a story. And I think that that's where I really started writing, was I would just come up with these like elaborate, heart-wrenching stories and I just want to write about it. And I love to make people feel. That's like my ultimate goal, is I just want people to like be moved. So this song is, it's just a story, and it's called I Love That Girl, and I hope you like it. He got his mama on the phone, said, I think I found the one. She already feels like home. One look at her and I was done. Someday I'll get on one knee and ask her to marry me. 'Cause I love that girl. I love her with all that I am. She's the best thing to ever happen to me. She makes me a better man. I hope I'm not getting too ahead of myself, but I don't care, I'm giving you my word. I think I love her. He finally made the drive up north and rehearsed what he had to say. As soon as he knocked on the door, the tears gave way. Sir, I'm here to ask you for her hand. I really hope you understand how much I love that girl. I love her with all that I am. She's the best thing to ever happen to me. She makes me a better man.
I vow to protect her as long as I live and give her the life she deserves. I promise to love her. It was babies crying and adding pictures to the wall, holding hands through it all. And then you blink an eye, and 50 years they fly right on by. He was fixing up his tie, staring at her picture frame. He wasn't ready to say goodbye. Then the preacher called his name. Would you please say a few words about her? And he said, I loved that girl. I loved her with all that I. She's the best thing to ever happen to me. She made me a better man. I know soon I'll get to hold her again, but I wish God had taken me first. I can't put into words how much I loved her.
Great writing. Amazing.
Thank you.
Sarah Kelly, what I love about podcasts, you folks, you can back it up and let's do it again and again and again. That is an amazing song.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Last time I played the Bluebird, I played a song that I wrote with Jessica Nixon, who's been on this show, called First. And it was, I want to go first, you know. And that hit me when you sang that at the, oh my gosh.
Oh, I would love to hear that song.
I'll play it for you.
Oh yeah. Sometime. Send it to me or something.
Oh my goodness. That is really fantastic.
Thank you.
All by yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's, and I feel like that's a song that it reminds me of a song that I wrote when I first started writing called You Came Back, and it is similar, but I wanted to write like a better written song than that. But yeah. I just feel like I have always been moved by those deep, deep stories. And there's so many that I could list off, like country story songs
like
that
some.
I'm inspired by. Well, The Little Girl, have you heard that song? It will tear your heart out. I don't remember. It's by a man.
By a guy.
Oh, we're going to have to find it. It's called The Little Girl. It is a very touching, deep song.
Okay.
Oh boy. I mean, I love like Brad Paisley's story songs. Even just like Waiting on a Woman is probably one of my favorite songs. I actually ran into him at Hobby Lobby.
At who?
I ran into Brad Paisley at Hobby Lobby and took a selfie. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say the guy who wrote that song, Wynn Varbal, is a buddy of mine. He's been on this.
I just think that's one of the best songs ever.
Oh, first, we heard that. We used to run writers' rounds in Cincinnati, and a little place called the Claremont Inn. And Wynn would come up and do shows and stuff. And he said, you know, Brad Paisley's going to record this one. He started to sing that song. Oh. And when he got to that ending, we were like, I mean, about dropped my beer.
Like,
oh my God, that's songwriting.
No, I know. And that's why I love like country songs, especially like the love songs, because I feel like growing up, that's one of the reasons I love Vince Gill, not to get deep, but it kind of taught me like, okay, this is exactly how I want to be loved. And so all of these like older country songs have taught me that. And so it's deeper than just like a good song to me. Like it's in a way it's like shaped my heart.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, in North Carolina, you weren't all that far from Randy Travis, who had one of the
I pass his mural all the time.
Do you?
Yeah. And I was just rehearsing, I Told You So, last night with the band.
Yeah.
I Told You So is one of my favorite songs by him.
What about Three Wooden Crosses? There's a story song for you, right?
Yeah. There's so many. Of course, I'm blanking now, but like Reba's got amazing story songs.
Yeah, fancy.
Not to mention Fancy.
Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia.
Somebody's Chelsea. That's a good one. Have you heard that one by Reba? It'll get you.
I'll find it. I think I found The Little Girl. It's Alison Krauss with Dan Kaminsky. Could that have been it?
Oh, no, I don't think it is.
Maybe that's a different one.
That's weird. It might be the same song. Hold on. Let me just like.
Who knows? But I found one version of it. So Anyway,
okay, good.
That's your assignment.
It's by John Michael Montgomery, the one I'm thinking of.
John Michael Montgomery?
Oh, that song will kill you.
Well, listen. We'll listen to it for sure. Yeah. Here's your assignment, folks at home. Dig it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they must have done a version of it, too. So.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway. Hey, do you have a YouTube page? You do have a YouTube page?
Yes. I'm not very good at YouTube, but I tried to, when I first moved here, like, record all of my...
I saw some of your videos.
Yeah, I wanted to record my original songs for the people back home, because they would always come to my gigs, and they weren't anymore, so I wanted to have a, like, document the songs I was writing as I moved here, so... That's kind of what it's been. I haven't been super consistent like I was when I first moved here because I wasn't as busy. But, yeah, so if y'all want to hear, like, original songs, go there,
and
I
guess.
And
that's just Sarah Kelly?
Yeah. You'll find me.
You'll find her.
Somewhere.
Please do. You're going to love the songs that she does.
Thank you.
What's next for you? What's the next things?
Well, I feel like there's a lot going on kind of, I guess, behind the scenes. I don't know if I should like say it all, but there's just been a lot of opportunities that I think they might become apparent soon. But I'm
think
excited.
A lot of doors are going to open for you. I really do. Your talent is rare. And
thank you.
They say it's a 10-year town. Don't put that in that mindset.
And I think that it's important because that makes me feel like, okay, I'm not in a rush. And I think it's important to not be in a rush. But at the same time, I feel like I've come so far in 10 months and
yes, you have.
Grateful for that. So
I can't believe you've only been in this town that long.
That's
really something.
I feel like I've been here for a lot longer in a good way.
Testament to your talent. We're going to see big things from you.
Thank you.
I want one more song.
Okay.
And one more story beside that song.
Okay.
Well,
this song is very special. If I had one more single to release, it'd probably be this one, my next one. But this is the song that I wrote with Tranny Anderson and Paul Sykes the same day that we wrote Man Who Will, which was my debut single.
Yeah.
So very different songs. This is another story, just bringing out all my story songs. I swear I have like upbeat, sassy, and everything in between. But just for this dining room, I was like, let me just pull all the stories.
Yeah.
But this song... I can't, again, it was a while ago. I can't exactly remember, but it's really special. Mm. And it's called Going to Your Wedding, and I hope y'all like it. You grew up three houses down on that Carolina road. Rode our box to the river. Barefoot skipping stones. Your heart broke junior year. I drove over right away. Snuck a couple of your daddy's beers and said she ain't good enough for you anyway. After all the time it's been, you're still my best friend. Today I'm going to your wedding. Yeah, I knew I always would. I only want to see you happy. I hope that life treats you good. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You know I'll be there rain or shine. Today I'm going to your wedding, and you're going to mine.
Really good.
No, I won't forget that moment. Summer we were 24. I saw something in your eyes that I'd never seen before. Then you got my daddy's blessing and your grandma's diamond ring. Here I am getting ready, sipping on some coffee, and I still can't believe today I'm going to your wedding. Yeah, I knew I always would. I only want to see you happy. I hope that life treats you good. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You know I'll be there rain or shine. Today I'm going to your wedding, and you're going to mine. Two kids, small town, just friends. But that ain't where that story ends. I knew one day I'd get that invite. Just didn't know I'd go in white. Today I'm going to your wedding. Yeah, I knew I always
I only wanna see you happy. I hope that life treats you good. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You know I'll be there rain or shine. Today I'm going to your wedding, and you're going to mine. Today I'm going to your wedding, and you're gonna be mine.
Sarah, that's amazing.
Thank you.
What a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
When you're writing songs, folks, you may have an idea. Think of ways to
flip things. It just, yes. You know, it hits you more.
It does,
you know?
Hit you more.
Don't do the expected, you know.
I didn't expect that.
Oh, I'm glad.
And that's what makes, so many times we've talked about, I think writing a good song is almost like telling a joke.
Mm.
Pull the rug right out from under you.
That's an interesting way to put it,
You don't see it. I mean, that's what makes a joke funny.
Yeah.
You don't see that ending coming.
Yeah.
And I think that's a talent to write songs like that. You're
thank
amazing.
You. Thank you.
You are an amazing talent.
Thank you so much.
I am going to be following you. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more of Sarah Kelly. Thanks for spending time around the dining room table on our show.
Yay.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get tender bone-in pork back ribs for $3.49 a pound with your card. Then get 16-ounce packages of juicy strawberries for $1.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.